Good evening.
Well, you know, I'm more used to doing openings up here, so I guess you'll be lucky if you get any more than 5 minutes with me. Well, I guess you'll be lucky if you get less than 5 minutes. Well, so, you know, Dave came to me about a month ago, asked me to do this sermon, and my first gut feeling was, there's no way you're going to be able to do a sermon, man. You can't do that. I was too scared, and then all of a sudden, out of my mouth, I go, yeah, I can do that. Man, I walked away. I was going back to my seat, and like, why did I say yes? I'm not going to be able to do that. There's no way. So today, I'm going to be talking on fear and overcoming our fear as Christians. Because as Christians, we have fears, and I'm not talking about like being scared of spiders. Like, it's not my fault you're a wuss. Like, it's a spider. It's all right. It's not going to hurt. It could hurt you. Talking more like the fears we get as Christians when we're out and about in our daily lives. And there's a lot of them. I mean, just when I heard I was doing this message, I was scared to come up in front of all these people and be up here for longer than 5 minutes. I mean, that was pretty scary. But I mean, like, for one, we all get a fear of being left out, especially at a guy my age. I get scared when I'm like with my friends and they talk about doing something, and I know being a Christian, I'm not going to be able to join them because maybe they're going out and partying on a Sunday night, and I'm like, hey, I got church. But then I hear them talking about it the next day, and I'm like, kind of wish I was there. But then I remember, well, I was at church. Maybe I should have invited them to church. Maybe I wouldn't have felt so left out. But I mean, honestly, we shouldn't really care what they're doing without us if it goes against what we believe and it goes against the Bible, because we're better off not doing that thing. And then we also get scared of losing the friends we have and the people we love because of what we believe. But in all reality, if they're not, if they leave you as a friend because you have a different belief than them, then you're better off without them. I mean, that's not saying you should stop trying to get them to convert, but that's just how it is. And I mean, if they're really your friends, they'll respect you for your beliefs. And maybe they'll come to church with you. Maybe they'll hear what you have to say. But now I want to get into some of the deeper ones we have. Sometimes we get scared of being different, not fitting in with the crowd. I mean, that kind of goes along with being left out. But I mean, we get scared that we're going to be too different from other people. I mean, if you want to turn with me to Romans 12:2, that is a good verse about this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We're not meant to be like the rest of the world. We're not meant to fit in with everybody. We're meant to be different. We're meant to be transformed by the renewing of our the renewing of our mind. So if you're really scared of being different, then that's kind of a problem, because as Christians, we are told that we are to hate the world and the sin in it. So if we're trying to be like the world, then, well, that kind of gets in the way of that. And the way the world lives shouldn't be the way we want to live. If you want to turn with me to Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Well, I guess that kind of puts it out plain and flat for us. I mean, if we are striving to please men and be the same as the world, then we're not servants of Christ, but we're servants of the world or Satan. And as a Christian, if you're serving Satan, that's not going to be very well. You need to set yourself aside from the world. Be different from the world. And the world's going to hate you for being different. We're going to be hated by the world, and we're told that in Scripture in John 15:18. says, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The world doesn't hate you only because you're living different than them, but it's because you're a servant of Christ, which not all the world understands that lifestyle. So maybe your friends ask you, hey, we're going to go out drinking tonight, you want to come? And you say no. They might despise you for that, but that's okay. Because in the end, you don't need them as friends, but you do need Christ as your Savior. Putting your priorities above other things, and God should be your number one priority. And then another fear, a big one that I struggle with, is the fear of talking to people in public or going out and talking to random people or like public speaking and things like that. I know you all know me. It may not seem like I'm too scared to get out there and talk to people. But it does get me sometimes. But in the end, everyone needs Jesus. Everyone you see when you're out and about needs Jesus. So you maybe not going up to the random person you saw at Walmart to tell them about Jesus might be a problem for them, because maybe they've never heard the word the way that it's meant to be preached. Maybe they've only heard it in a demeaning and terrible way that other people, false teachers, have taught them. And some people are going to reject you, but it's not your fault. Some people are going to tell you, no, I don't want to be a Christian, but you can't beat yourself up over that. That's their choice. You just got to know that you put in the effort, you tried to get them, but in the end, if they reject you, doesn't mean you have to stop trying, but it's not your fault. So turn with me to Luke 15:7. I tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. If you go out and preach the word of God to 100 people and only one person turns their life to Christ from that, that's a win. The heaven will be rejoicing over that one person. And I mean, that the 99 other people you talked to, maybe they need other things they need to figure out, but you were able to get one person by the power of Christ. They were able to be saved. And maybe if you hadn't gone and talked, maybe you got through 99 people and you were like, man, no one's listening to me. I should just give up. That 100th person could have been the one, and you stopped at 99, and now that 100th person may never hear the word of God. And that's just not something you want. As Christians, we should be filled with the joy of knowing the good news and have no other choice but to tell other people about it. And anyone you see in public is a sinner, just like you and me. They all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as Romans 3:23 tells us. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Everyone has sinned, but in the same way, everyone is able to turn their life to Christ and be saved. So we need to get out there, not be scared to talk to other people, or maybe you're not more scared, you're more uncomfortable doing it. You just need to step outside of your comfort zone a lot, and that's something that I'm unable to do even. So I'm not coming up here and telling you that I go out and talk to 100 people about Christ every single day. Now, I don't do a lot of that. So I chose this topic because it's something I struggle with personally, and I wanted to be able to study into it and help out other people. It's better to try and fail than to not try at all. It's better to go and talk to people about Christ and maybe not get one person to convert or anything, than to not talk to anybody at all. So at least you put that effort in. And then the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Not only is it because we know they, as much as us, need the power of Christ or the salvation of Christ, it's also a direct commandment from Jesus that we go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us this because he knew that our job as Christians is to fill heaven, get out there, tell people the good news, because the last thing I want is anyone I know or anyone at all to have to suffer in hell. So, I mean, it's just a terrible thought thinking of myself, but I would never wish that on anybody. So I want to do my part, and we should all want to do our parts as Christians to try to get as many people out of that eternity and be able to spend their eternity with Christ. And then, on top of those fears that are holding us back from spreading the word of God, there's a lot of fears that hold us back from our own spiritual growth. Sometimes we may fear confessing sins to fellow brothers in Christ because maybe we're scared that they won't understand what we're going through. They might be upset with us for doing what we did. But at the end of the day, we've all sinned. We've all been through that. Everyone in this room, everyone anywhere, has been through sin. It's not just you. It's not just me. Turn with me to James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And then turn with me to Nehemiah 1:6. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open to hear the prayer of thy servant, which I am praying before thee now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, thy servants confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, I and my father's house have sinned. We're not told to confess our sins to fellow Christians because we need to, it is because we need to, but it's because the prayer of a righteous man is very strong. Although you may think that you can do it on your own, you can't. And even if someone's not able to directly help you, they're able to pray for you in the situation you're going through, and that will help a lot, having people pray for you and help you figure that out. So, and like as I said, everyone struggles with sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20. Indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. And then, there's no sin worse than another sin. Lying and murder, it's all the same in God's eyes. I mean, as humans, we see someone lie and someone murder. Obviously, the murderer is a lot worse to us than a man who lies. But in God's eyes, it's all sin to him. And at the end of the day, as Christians, if someone confesses their sins to us, we have no right to tell them that they're awful, tell them that their sin is worse than the ones we've committed, because we have also sinned a great deal in our lives. So, and as fellow Christians, if you are confessing your sins to a fellow Christian, as fellow Christians, they shouldn't judge you, but they should offer their help, and they should pray for you. And in the end, it will only serve to help you, and it will evidently serve to help the Christian or the brothers in Christ that you talk to. It may help them grow in their faith. It may help them out with some sins they're struggling with. And then one that even I struggle with a lot, it's the fear of maybe opening your Bible. Maybe you're scared to know that you're living wrong. Maybe you're scared to change the way you live because you've gotten so used to it that you just decide, if I don't open my Bible, why would I have to change? But the problem is even if you're not reading it, it's still there. Even if you're not looking at it daily, it's still there. Even if you're avoiding one part of the Bible because you know it'll directly tell you that your way of living currently is wrong, it's still there and you still need to change the ways you're living. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And Psalms 119:105. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it, that I will keep the righteous ordinances. The word was given to us by God. God breathed to help us grow as Christians. So if we're not reading it, if we're not studying it, there is no way we can grow spiritually because we don't know how. So, I mean, maybe you are scared to figure out that the way you're living currently is wrong, but it's better for you to know that you're living wrong than to avoid figuring that out and continue to live wrong. Because we're all going to be judged one day, so you'd want to fix that now before it's too late. And at the end of the day, staying out of the Bible is only going to hurt you. It's only going to stunt your growth as a Christian. And if changing your lifestyle has scared you, then I challenge you to face your fears, because if you don't fix it now, then you may run out of time and you may not get the chance to, because Jesus is coming back one day. We're all going to die one day and we don't know when. So, I mean, you can assume that you're going to be able to predict the exact day and time that you'll leave this life, but truth is, you'll never know. I mean, Jesus could come back right now, or you could die tonight. I mean, not trying to scare anybody, but it's just the facts of life. And if you don't fix the way you're living now, change the way you're living now, then you may not have time to. We can't let fear overcome us. We need to overcome it. And I mean, everyone's heard the phrase faith over fear, and that's the best way to put it, is we need to put our faith in God, our trust in God, over the fears we have. Because if we let our fears overcome us, Satan's going to use those fears. Satan's going to continue to use those fears until you just can't do it anymore. Satan will use the fears against you. 2 Timothy 1:7. Says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. God didn't give us a spirit to fear things of this world, fear these different things. He gave us a spirit that of power and love and discipline. And I mean, we are able to not be afraid of these things, but we let Satan get in our head and tell us that it's hard. And truth is, a lot of the stuff that I brought up is hard. But, I mean, in Philippians, it says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And, I mean, if we look before in that text, it tells us that we need to keep our minds on things that are praiseworthy. And that's really important, because if we keep our minds on things that scare us, on things that aren't praiseworthy, then we're not going to be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So it's important to look at those different things. And at the end of the day, when it comes to fear, We need to put our trust in God and trust in the Lord in everything that we do. Psalms 56:3 says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in me. If we get to a point where we're scared of different things, we just need to trust in God. We need to let go and let God. Because at the end of the day, we really can't do anything without God. We are nothing without God. And if we let those fears capsize, if we let those fears crumble us down, then we're not going to be able to do much. And Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God tells us here that we are not to fear, because he is with us at all times. And then finally, although I've told you this whole service that we can't be afraid of these things, there's one thing as Christians that we are to fear, and that's the Lord. As Christians, we are to fear the Lord. Psalms 111:10. Says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. If we fearing the Lord is very important, and that's not, well, yeah, it is being scared of him, but the fear of the Lord, a respective fear of the one who created us and the one who saved us. And that will begin wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 also says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, in the end of all this, as Christians, as a Christian, if you're afraid to get out there, spread the word of God, why? That's my simple question for you. Why are you scared to spread the word of God? Why are you scared to get out there and let people know who you serve? As one of the parts of the plan of salvation is to confess. And if we're scared to do that, then how are we going to get through anything else? So, and then my question for those non-Christians, why? Why have you not given your life to Christ? Is it because you're scared that your friends are going to despise you? Is it because you're scared that you have to change the way that you live? Well, I'm here to tell you, you can't let that fear hold you back. I mean, we all got them, but we just got to put our trust in the Lord and know that when you give your life to Christ, it's the best decision you can make, because it will further your walk with Christ. It will save you. And after that, you can't just go back to living your regular life. You got to make a change. You got to repent of your sins. And while that is hard, it's necessary. And you can't be scared of that. So why? Why haven't you given your life to Christ? Or if you have, why don't you go out and tell everybody about it? Because that's what we should do. We should be so overfilled with joy that we can't help but tell people about the love we have for Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this amazing day you blessed us with, Lord, and I just thank you for giving me this opportunity to share your word with these people. And I just pray that if there is anybody in this room that has not given their life to Christ, Lord, let today be their day of salvation. Lord, if there's people just struggling with this fear, Lord, I pray that you help them to remember that you're with them always, that they can put their trust in you. And most of all, I thank you so much for sending your son that on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Colton, for a great message. As we think about overcoming our fears, it starts by humbling ourselves to God. Let's sing about that this evening. Let's sing, Give Us Clean Hands. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts, let us not lift our souls to another. Oh, give us clean hands, give us pure hearts, let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols, and give us clean hands, and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another, and give us clean hands, and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob.
All right, you may be seated. For those Christians who have not yet had the opportunity to meet around the Lord's table this morning, we're going to be using the song At the Cross. We're going to sing two verses of that. You can be seated in the front row as we sing this, and you'll be served after that. And then Dakota's going to come up and lead us in a thought. Let's sing At the Cross.
Alas, drops of grief and Mary pay the debt of my own. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden.
Good evening. Why did Jesus die? 1 Peter 2:24 tells us he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus was crucified, but not for any sins of his own. He had nails driven through his hands and feet for my sins and for your sins. The Son of God himself bore our sins in his body nearly 2,000 years ago. Isn't that awesome? This 2,000-year-old sacrifice is still good enough for us today and will be good enough through eternity for every soul born into this world. That's an amazing and powerful sacrifice. The death of Jesus is not simply a moment in history to be remembered and appreciated as we remember the storming of the beaches of Normandy on D-Day, but it goes much deeper than any human